This is Fresh Air. After 20 years of publishing books by Czech writers banned in Czechoslovakia, Joseph Skvoretsky has decided to close down his small publishing company. After all, one of his writers is now president of the country. Books aren't censored anymore in Czechoslovakia. Skvoretsky and his wife Zadina Selivarova fled their country after the 1968 Soviet invasion. They moved to Toronto, where they founded the small press 68 Publishers. One of the banned Czech writers they published was Skvoretsky himself. Skvoretsky was in New York yesterday to receive an International Writers Award, so we invited him to talk with us about his decision to close down 68 Publishers. They plan to release their last book this Christmas.
Right after the Velvet Revolution, we thought that we would cease immediately, but then friends told us that we should continue and carry on. So we made a compromise. We decided that we will publish another 12 or 13 books as our final volume, and then we'll close it.
The world is so changeable. You know, I'm thinking just as you decide that, there's no more need for your Czech language publishing company. The Soviet Union is cracking down on the independence movement in the Baltics. The police and KGB activity is on the rise within the Soviet Union. Do you feel like things really haven't settled down yet? That you don't really know what the future will be in that part of the world?
Well, I feel quite strongly about Czechoslovakia and Poland and Hungary. You know, I don't think that the rule of the Communist Party can return to those countries because it would necessitate another Soviet invasion, and at the moment I don't think they are strong enough to do that. Then also don't forget that Germany was united, so they would have to invade part of Germany. So I think the situation in the former satellites is more or less secure, which doesn't mean that the remnants of the communist hardcore party, you know, the communist mafia, will do nothing will not sabotage the efforts of the democratic elements. It's hard times are ahead, of course, but I have full confidence in my people that they will master this problem.
One of the authors who you've published by your press is yourself. Your own books were banned in Czechoslovakia, so you had to be published in a more underground system. Are you available in Czechoslovakia now?
Yes, about four books of mine have already been published, and very successfully, if I may say so. For instance, I wrote a novel about, it's a satire on the communist army called the Tank Battalion, and that sold about 250,000 copies already, which is, of course, an immense number if you consider that there are only about 11 million Czechs. So it's a huge number. And another book of mine, which is in English, The Swell Season, sold about 200,000 copies. And they have already finished shooting a movie based on the tank battalion in Prague. And this will be the first Czech feature film after more than half a century, which was produced by a private company, not by the state company of Barrandov. So things are moving, and there are very many encouraging signs.
So your books that are published in Czechoslovakia and the books of other authors who you've published on 68 Publishers, are they coming out in new editions, or is it your editions of the books that are selling?
They are coming out in new editions because, you know, we were a shoestring business, so we, for instance, didn't have any editors. I edited the books myself, and I had to do so many other things that the editing was not done, you know, in a first-class way. So they now are being edited by professional editors who have all the time. But most of the books that we publish are now being republished in Prague in new editions, including the plays by Václav Havel, who is one of our authors, and now, of course, he is the president. So that's another encouraging sign.
Now that you will soon be closing down 68 Publishers, are you dismantling the literary underground railroad that you created over the years?
Well, it's no longer necessary. We can now send manuscripts and books by mail, which was impossible before the change of November 1989. We had to smuggle everything, and everything had to be smuggled to us. Now we can use the mail and the courier service, so we are not dismantling it. It simply doesn't exist anymore because it's not necessary.
The last time we spoke, you gave us one example of how you smuggled books out of Canada into Czechoslovakia. I was wondering if you could give us another, if you could share some of the system that you created for getting books into the country.
Well, the system was not created by us, you know, that was created by other people and we used it. So there were, some of the smugglers were professionals. At one time they even had a custom-built car which could accommodate about 50 volumes of paperback volumes, and which traveled to Prague more or less regularly across the border, and it had this hidden compartment. But that's in the end, the police found out about it. You know, they had an informer in Austria, and he informed them about the car, so that on one of the crossings, the two people who were driving the car, a man and wife team, were arrested, and the books were confiscated, so that ended. But then, of course, there were many German tourists who were willing to take a few copies into Czechoslovakia, and if they were caught, they just played, the naive Westerner who simply has no idea that books are banned because officially nothing is banned, you know. And then there were these old age pensioners who were permitted to visit their children in the West. The government, let them go because they hoped they would stay here, and some of them did stay, but most of them returned because the people who stayed here, of course, lost their pensions, and they had to be supported by their children. So these people smuggled many books, and then we used various channels, various willing diplomats, and so it was a very varied, enterprise.
Sounds like a lot of the people who you used were just the kind of people who wouldn't look like they were smuggling anything.
No, certainly not. Most of them were amateurs.
Were you ever harassed in Toronto?
Well, so at the beginning of our endeavors in the publishing field, I had quite a lot of visitors from Prague who always phoned me. You know, these were the old age pensioners who were in Canada to visit their children. And they would phone me and tell me that they had a message for me from Mr. Havel or Mr. Kundera, who was then still in Prague, or from Mr. Vatsulik and from other friends of mine who were prominent among the dissidents, and whether they could see me. So I said, all right, come to my place. And they came to my place, and I developed a method. You know, I always gave them whiskey. And they were not very used to drinking hard liquor. So they very soon got a little inebriated. And then they told me that that was the precondition of getting a permission to visit their children, that they would seek me out and ask me to send some messages to Havel and to these people through them. Of course, I didn't send any messages because I knew that they would have to report it to the secret police. But otherwise, I was never harassed.
So it sounds like the government was using people who didn't look like they were spies either.
Yes, yes.
You're both playing the same game.
Yes. They simply told them, well, all right, if you want to visit your children in Toronto, you have to do something for us. There is this publishing house, and we are interested in, finding out about their, financial situation, and perhaps they would be willing to send a message to Havel. So my messages were invariably, hello, I never went beyond saying, well, say hello to Mr. Havel. So I wasn't that naive.
My guest is Czech emigre writer and publisher Joseph Skvoretsky. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Joseph Skvoretsky is my guest. Have you been back to Czechoslovakia recently?
Yes, I was there last spring in May. And that was it's hard to describe because it felt more like a dream. Not so much as reality, because, after 20 years, and we never expected that this would happen in our lifetime, we were quite, convinced that we would simply end our days here without having a chance to visit the old country. So it felt like a dream. And everybody was very nice to us, and we had many signing sessions, with our readers and thousands of people lined up and brought the old pre-invasion books that I had published and all the books that I copied on the typewriters and I signed them. Many of them brought books that I had already signed in the 60s. Now they wanted me to sign them again in the 80s, you know. So we met old friends. It was just a great time.
When you were in Czechoslovakia, I wonder if you went to hear any music. I ask that because music has always been an important part of your life and an important subject of your writing.
Yes, well, my many friends who are jazz musicians and pop singers and pop musicians and rock and roll musicians organize a big concert for us in the Lucerna Hall in Prague. The Lucerna Hall is something like Carnegie Hall, you know, and it can seat about 4,000 people, and it was packed. And the concert was called For the Skvoretskys Finally at Home. So it was done in our honor, and everybody who means anything in jazz music and pop music was there. So that was very nice. And we also visited a nightclub where Emil Wiklitsky was performing. Wiklitsky is at the moment the best Czech jazz pianist. He's a graduate of the Berklee School of Music in Boston. And so they performed for us. They even brought in a bass saxophone and asked me to play it, which I couldn't because I've never played a bass saxophone, you know. So, but it was, that was one of the best aspects of my stay in Prague, or many musicians and singers and old friends.
Yeah, one of your novellas is called The Bass Saxophone, and the story is in part about the kinds of music that the Nazis outlawed because it was considered too,
Judeo-Negroid.
Yes, yeah, right, Judeo-Negroid, yeah. So that was the reason for the bass saxophone tribute.
Yes.
I guess, is that novel one of the most popular of your books in Czechoslovakia?
Well, it's very popular among the musicians, you know, because I've had so many letters from not only Czech musicians, but American musicians like Gary Mulligan and various other people who read it, because it's about jazz, you know, so it appeals to jazz musicians. But as for my other novels, my most popular novel in Czechoslovakia is The Tank Battalion and The Cowards, which is also in English.
Those are both about the invasion?
No, The Cowards is about the end of the war, the last week of World War II in a small town. And that's the novel that introduced Danny Smiritsky and his friends who play jazz, you know. So that's a very popular novel. It was banned when it was originally published. It was banned and seized by the police. And I was fired from my job because of that novel, which was, of course, excellent publicity. Everybody wanted to read it. So these two, I think, are the most popular novels of mine in Czechoslovakia. Because, you know, The Miracle Game and The Engineer of Human Souls have not yet been published in Czechoslovakia. They are very long novels, and it takes some time, and of course, costs a lot of money to publish such long novels.
Did you meet friends who were writers who were trying to figure out what to write about now that perhaps their subject would no longer be the communist bureaucracy?
Well, I don't think that's the problem with the Czech writers. They always have lots of things to write about, because don't forget that for the writers who stayed at home, were not permitted to write on the burning issues. And, you know, the totalitarian regime creates so many absurd situations that you never run out of stuff. You can just spend a lifetime writing things like Kafka or like Havel, you know.
When books were banned in Czechoslovakia, writers took on a certain heroic status because it was really an act of bravery to write something that was going to possibly get you in a lot of trouble. Do you think writers will maintain that kind of heroic status now that you're free to write or say anything in the country?
Well, I hope they won't pose as heroes, because that's unhealthy. You know, writers should be writers, and they should concentrate on writing well. And the heroism was necessary at a certain time, or some sort of heroism. That's no longer necessary, because now there is no censorship. And nobody can really get into trouble because of writing a novel, unless you have, of course, a libel law or something like that. But certainly not for political reasons, which was usually the case. Where, in my first novel, The Cowards, I was in trouble because the political interpretation of that novel was that it was slanderous of the Red Army, which it wasn't, but that's how the party interpreted it, and I was in trouble. So such thing can no longer happen in present-day Czechoslovakia.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Writer and publisher Joseph Skvoretsky, a novel he wrote 20 years ago, The Miracle Room, has just been published in the U.S. by Knopf. This is Fresh Air.